New awareness about the pervasiveness of human trafficking has resulted from the charges filed against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft and about two dozen other men. Authorities in Florida allege the men solicited prostitution at a spa where women were held in what amounted to sex slavery. Experts say human trafficking for sex and labor operates everywhere but below the surface. A religious order in Springfield, Massachusetts, the Sisters of St. Joseph, has been working for almost two decades to combat human trafficking. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Sister Denise Granger, who chairs the order's Justice and Peace Committee.
The traffickers are very well organized. Some of them are part of cartels, you know, in Mexico or other countries here. And so the recruitment goes on. Someplace where women are very vulnerable, maybe a poor country, maybe just a poor family. And whoever they're looking to recruit is offered a job and brought into the United States or trafficked some other place. Trafficking is everywhere. So they're brought into wherever their target area is. Their papers are often confiscated. And their promise, of course, was that they would get a good job, earn money, send it back to the poor family. Often what happens is they're just gone, and nobody ever knows what happens. And they end up in massage parlors or working as somebody's nanny. And until they can somehow make contact with the outside world and get out, they're really just slaves.
When the authorities make these discoveries, as they did recently in Florida, and the mm-hmm. situation that's very much in the news there, and mm-hmm. and recently here in Western Massachusetts, where mm-hmm. where a couple of alleged massage parlors were discovered mm-hmm. by police investigations, what happens to the women who were working there, who were enslaved there?
Exactly, who were enslaved there. One of the things that we have to do, the police will take the woman if she'll go. And there's a couple of different things that can happen. One is they can arrange for her to be, if she's young, sent back to her family, or especially if that happens in the United States. Or if they really want to get out of the life, they need to take a long time to be rehabilitated, especially if they're not Americans. And even if they are poor Americans, their lives have been so skewed by what's happened to them that it could take a year, year and a half. If they're going to be part of a trial where they will point the finger at their trafficker or their pimp, then they need to have a lawyer, they need to have counseling, they need to have health care, they need to have the whole gamut. Education, they need to have a whole gamut of services. This could take a long time, like a year, year and a half, before they're ready.
How long has you been working on this issue?
Well, the Catholic Sisters around the world have been working on this since around the turn of the millennium. And it came really from Catholic Sisters who were working in really poor countries, especially in Africa and India, and, you know, Asia, where all of a sudden women were just gone. Children were just gone. So it kind of worked up the chain to the superiors of these women's religious congregations. And at a meeting in Rome, I think it was 2001, this International Union of Superiors General put out the challenge to all Catholic sisters across the world to work on human trafficking, to say, we need to just expose this. We need to talk about it. We need to raise consciousness that this is happening absolutely everywhere. And so the church, of course, has no claim to righteousness on this. And so that has been going on for a really long time, especially in poor countries in Africa. Speaking of priests and bishops who had sexually exploited nuns, sisters of these religious congregations, part of the culture that, you know, men are extremely dominant. So that didn't go away when they became clerics.
What has the Justice and Peace Committee done locally?
In 2010, the congregation issued a statement publicly saying that human trafficking was, important to look at. We needed to raise our consciousness, get ourselves educated about this. And we had a program in 2013 that kind of opened it up for ourselves, an educational program. The congregation is made up of a lot of teachers. So teaching about this, learning about it, teaching about it is sort of right up our alley. 2013. Then last year in 2018, we did a program in April on human trafficking at our mother house. Was our mother house at Mount Marie that was incredibly well attended on human trafficking. So right now, what we're working on is helping to create a drop-in center for women, probably in the south end of Springfield, who are in the life. This would be a program a couple of hours a week, maybe a couple of days. No pressure, just come in. Maybe there would be services available, maybe coffee, sandwiches, food, just to take a break. There's a program that we're modeling it on in Worcester, and it was one of the speakers at our trafficking event last April who started that in Worcester. So she's working with us to help us set that up now.
And I believe Massachusetts passed an anti-trafficking law within the last few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has that helped at all? Has that been an effective measure?
It is if the women who have been trafficked will absolutely point the finger at who it is that they've been trafficked by. Yes, very strong asset seizure, all kinds of stuff that happens to the trafficker. They're very powerful over the people that they have trafficked. They hold all the cards, all right? They might hold their visas. They might hold their paychecks. They might, as we saw down in Florida just recently, they were locked in. So these are powerless people. And the traffic syndicate that was doing that, holds all the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good work. It's good police work by the department down there that did enough surveillance to lock it right down.